Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're about to have a conversation with Laura Murphy, who is the director of the ACLU Washington Legislative Office. She works in Capitol Hill for the ACLU, and she wrote an interesting piece that she sent out in her mail. Is the debt ceiling a civil liberties issue? And as they debate the future debt ceiling, Laura Murphy joins us here on the air. And Laura, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I think it was important and fascinating to have this as part of the discussion for you to begin to describe what you mean. I mean, I think nobody's thought about this. Mean as the debt ceiling could be a civil liberties issue.
Yes. I think if you look at the research about the last 10 years, you will see that the wealth gap is widening in America. And it's not just widening between the rich and the poor. It's also widening between whites and racial minorities. And so whites in between 2005 and 2009 have lost about 16% of their net worth, whereas Hispanics have lost about 66% of their net worth, and African Americans have lost about 53% of their net worth. And so when you have people who are impoverished or at a lower income, they become more dependent on government services. And the challenge that we've had since slavery, since Jim Crow, into recent years, is to assure that federal government services are distributed on an equitable basis, and that they don't exacerbate racial disparities, and they don't exacerbate discrimination. And so when you have more people in the custody of government, in the care of the criminal justice system, in the care of the public health system, in the care of the public education system, a lot of times you will see issues of discrimination that end up being civil liberties problems, whether it's racial profiling in policing, whether it's immigration border enforcement issues, whether it's inequality in school education. So while the debt ceiling itself is not a civil liberties issue, the consequences of the economy will have ramifications for civil liberties for decades to come.
So if the bill passes, as people are talking about this evening, and it really is a bill that it talks more about deficit reduction than anything else, you're saying those deficit reductions around Medicare, but if you couple those with the money we spend on anti-terrorist activities, those are the kind of things you raise the contradictions of civil liberties for you.
Yes, well, if you look at if you change Medicare, for example, substantially, that has a disproportionate impact on women. Why? Because women are more dependent on Medicare than men. Women live longer than men. Social Security changes have a disproportionate impact on women for those same reasons, and also because women are in and out of the workforce to care for elderly parents, to care for children, and so their income is interrupted. So women are more likely to be impoverished, and the system is more likely to have a negative impact if the system is reduced overall on women. So the elements of the deal are very important, and that's what we're all waiting for. Everyone is, you know, concerned, will they make the August 2nd deadline? The real issue is what's beneath the deal. What are the policy decisions that have been made? Where are the cuts going to come from? Will they have a disproportionate impact on entitlement programs? Or will they go after defense spending? And what we're hearing now is that the cuts will disproportionately come from entitlement programs, that the tax breaks that were there for the wealthy will still continue. And while the ACLU doesn't have a position on those tax breaks, we are concerned about the disproportionate impact of these economic policies.
I was thinking about some of the work you're doing at the ACLU now on the coming elections and on voting rights. Mm-hmm. Because this election, clearly, around the issue of the deficit debt, how the government should spend money, how the government should raise money, who gets voted or not voted into office in the coming year will have a huge effect on all of that. And part of the work you're doing, it seems to me, in some interesting ways, is directly related to that because of your concerns about voting rights in this country and what's happening to the erosion of voting rights in America.
That's right. Over 30 states have passed some form of voter suppression mechanism, whether it's a requirement that you have a photo ID or whether it's limiting the periods in which you can register to vote or whether it's reversing a decision like was done in Florida where a million ex-felons had their right to vote restored after they served their debt to society. And this governor took away that right this year. And so so if you elect a person who prioritizes going to war, that has huge consequences for domestic programs. And so people need to vote and be aware of the restrictions that have been recently placed on their right to vote. And they need to vote as if their life depends on it, because it does. You know, going to war at the tune of, you know, over $700 billion a year has real consequences for what we have available for domestic spending. We can only have so much income, especially if tax breaks are allowed to continue, and especially if, you know, corporations that are benefiting from those breaks are not reinvesting in the economy and new jobs aren't being created. So there's only so much we can raise, and there's only so much we can spend. And the question is, who's going to be at the table? Who are the elected officials at the table making those decisions? And will your rights be represented at the table? And you have to admire groups like the Tea Party that have really energized their base. But the question is, will there be the same level of energy in the Democratic Party, in the Independent Party, in the Green Party? The ACLU is a nonpartisan organization, but we encourage participation in the political process. We're not behind a particular party, but we encourage participation. And so I think if people don't understand that recent voting restrictions have been put into place, that if they change their address, they need to make sure that they're still allowed to vote in the next election. If they don't have a photo ID, they need to get a photo ID, because the elections will decide who gets to make the decisions about how we survive this economic downturn and whose ox will get gored.
It seemed in some ways in what you wrote, just to conclude, what you wrote in that email, is that some of the costs of what we don't reduce in this deficit reduction process, like the cost of incarcerating detainees in Guantanamo, and the $2 billion, as you put it, that will be going into the Homeland Security to detain immigrants, is directly affects the notion of civil liberties.
Absolutely. I mean, this Congress refuses to allow terrorist suspects to be tried in civilian courts, and the ACLU believes that's a mistake, because we think that civilian courts are much more effective, much more balanced, and are respected worldwide, unlike military commissions. But there's also a financial cost to Congress refusing to allow detainees to be tried in civilian courts. It costs $700,000 more per year per detainee to house them at Guantanamo. And so there's a policy decision there as well as a fiscal decision there. And we should not get confused that this budget debate is only about numbers. It's also about policies. And so Congress will spend unlimited amounts for border enforcement. And the border crossings, the undocumented border crossings, have been reduced. but yet Congress is increasing and increasing the amount they use for the Border Patrol, the amount they use for immigrant detention. And so there are real policy issues buried in these budget negotiations that are going on right now.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, Laura Murphy, and we look forward to having you on both in conversations with me and in debates around these issues in the coming months. I want to thank you very much for taking your time with our listeners today.
Well, thank you for letting me be on my hometown radio station.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Laura Murphy, Director of the ACLU Washington Legislative Office, as we talked about civil liberties and the tax and the debt ceiling issues being debated today. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Mark.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.